Greetings, my little oddities. Welcome to another episode of Odd Tuesdays. This is Monica Caraway from Small Biz Thoughts. Today, Carl is joined by UK MSP coach and author Richard Tubb. Richard joined us earlier in the year in our annual SMB online conference, and today we'll be sharing tips on how to avoid being overwhelmed in your IT business. We will also be joined by Manuel Polichuk, a new addition to our Oddballs team, and I'll be sharing some tech news brought to you by neowin.net. But first, upcoming tech events. There's a lot happening in September. The GFI Max Partner Conference is on September 1st and 2nd on the Gold Coast in sunny Queensland, Australia, and also it is on in Orlando, Florida, September 8th through the 10th. Carl will be at the Orlando event. Please visit conferences.gfimax.com for more information. The Great Little Seminar online courses continue, with a new one starting up September 8th. This online course is entitled Managing Your Service Board Daily Procedures. Please visit greatlittleseminar.com for registration. The Channel Pro SMB Forum is on September 8th and 9th in Boston. Please visit channelproforum.com for details. The Ulistic MSP Workshop is on September 18th in Toronto, Ontario. Please visit ulistic.com for more information. The ASCII IT SMB Success Summit is on September 17th and 18th in Phoenix. Go to ASCIIevents.com to register. The SMB Nation Fall Conference is on September 26th to the 28th in Redmond, Washington. Go to smbnation.com for the details. And lastly, if you're heading to the SMB Nation Fall Conference, don't forget Carl is celebrating his 10th anniversary hosting his SMB Pre-Day Show. The show will be held September 25th, and this year's focus is on project management and standard operating procedures. Please visit smbpreday.com to register, and you can always use the Odd Tuesday show coupon for 20% off the ticket price. And now, let's hand off to Carl and Richard.
Hello, please welcome to the program now Mr. Richard Tubb, all the way from the UK. Hello, sir, how are you?
I'm well, Carl. How are you doing?
Very good, as always. So, it has been a long time since we had you on the program. Why don't you give us a quick update of what you're up to these days?
Sure. So, well, most of my time is spent working with the owners of IT businesses, predominantly here in the UK, but also further afield, really helping them to concentrate on what's important, to make more money, to free up their time, and to get ahead within business. And that's going very well for me. Still quite a demand for services from MSPs here in the UK. In fact, too much demand. So lots of MSPs getting in touch asking to work with me. And so I have been presented with a challenge, you know, how do I serve more people? So I came to the conclusion, actually, a lot of the questions I get from MSPs, IT business owners, tend to be very along similar lines, tend to be clustered around a group of topics. So I thought it was about time I sat down, put pen to paper, and got the MSP book out there to try and help business owners. The IT Business Owner Survival Guide is just about finished now.
Excellent. And you've been blogging for a long time. One of the better written blogs in our space, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
So I hope that if people haven't already subscribed, that they'll go check out your blog. And that's just at tublog.com, right?
www.tublog.co.uk, although I think .com gets there as well. So, yeah, the blog's been interesting. I've been writing it for, I think it's coming up to 7 or 8 years now. Of course, inspired by a certain somebody who's also on this call to start blogging all those years ago. And the blog started out as me writing about what it was like to be an IT business owner. So, of course, you know, but I used to run an IT business and an MSP business based here in the UK, which I sold just over 3 years ago now. So the blog was really, you know, me writing my my thoughts and my experiences as an MSP business owner. And then, of course, after I sold the IT business, I continued to write articles to help other IT business owners to do better. And it's, you know, that's been the evolution of my coaching business and led me to write the book now as well.
Tell us a little bit about, what's the focus? What makes this book different from all other books? There's plenty of books on managed services these days.
There is indeed. Now, you know, the managed service book that I've always had sort of in me, and we speak about everybody's got one book in them at least, you know, I've been writing for the blog for many, many years. And I've found that a lot of the articles that I write for the blog that tend to be shared a lot and tend to become really quite popular tend to be the ones that are less about the technology and much more about saving time, avoiding stress, those type of things. So really, the human aspect of running an IT business. So the IT Business Owner Survival Guide is really a collection of practical advice, an easy to read guide for business owners who are struggling to cope with the day-to-day stresses of running an IT business. And I think the target audience for me when I was writing the book was readers who perhaps own an IT business but are struggling to cope with all the responsibilities they have. So it might be somebody who is a technician and they're struggling to come to terms with the fact that, hey, being a great technician is not enough if I want to grow a business. I need to wear these HR hats. I need to wear the marketing hat. I need to get good with finance and things like this. So really, it's going to be an easy-to-read guide with practical tips for people who are struggling on a day-to-day basis.
Nice. So you gave at the SMB Online Conference some great information about how people can, sort of be more intentional through their day and not be as interrupt-driven and so forth. I'm assuming some of that is in the book, and it sounds like a lot of other productivity tips.
Oh, definitely, definitely. So this isn't, this isn't an MSP book. This isn't a book on how to run an MSP. There's plenty of those types of books out there. But likewise, it's not a book on productivity and time management. It's a book on how to be a good IT business owner, how to cope with this deluge of information and this deluge of responsibilities that you have as an IT business owner. So for instance, chapter one, the title is, what to do when you've got too much to do but don't know where to start. It's a common thing, how many people do you and I as coaches speak to on a day-to-day basis, Carl, and they say to us, I know I need to do something to change things, but I've got no idea what that thing is. So I, help people to understand some really practical tips for managing the things that they need to do. For emptying their head is as I mentioned at the SMB Online Conference, is a huge one for me, and I see the biggest gains with clients that I work with, and I help them understand that the human brain's not a good place to store to-do lists, to store all the things that need to be done. So I help people in the book to get stuff out of their head, to get them down onto paper or whichever method of electronic system they might use. And then there are practical techniques such as, I talk about the idea of having, if you're using a professional services automation tool such as Autotask or ConnectWise or Shocky Monkey, that type of thing, how to use internal boards to delegate work and how to make sure other people within your organization are aware of the work that needs to be done. And then throughout the book, I move on to tackle other things such as how to cope with too much email, which I'm sure is not a problem for anybody else in the world bar me. I have a love-hate relationship with email personally to this day. But and moving forward, how to make sure you're never overwhelmed with tasks. So the first part of the book is really helping IT business owners to get out from under. If they're struggling, there's too much stuff, they don't really know where to turn. There's a wealth of information out there, isn't there? There's blogs and all sorts of webinars and things on how to do this. But even that in itself can get overwhelming. So I really hope the first few chapters of the book help people to get some clarity over what it is they need to do to move forward. And then moving forward with the book, it's later chapters talk about the practical things that MSP business owners always tell me they want to do. How to win more clients when you keep putting off doing marketing.
Right.
How to get good at doing business networking. It's probably fair to say that many of us who work within the IT industry tend to be quite introverted. So the idea of walking into a room, a local business networking event full of people, our first instinct is probably to whip out our smartphone and hide in the corner and pretend that we're doing some important emails. We've all been at networking events and seen people have done that. I've certainly done that myself. So one of the chapters in the book is, how to become a natural at business networking, how to connect with people on social media. heads with people collectively. And of course, no book of this you could go by without mentioning social media. It's a huge part of our business nowadays and of the managed service industry. So I give some practical techniques on how to use social media to win business, but without spending all day at the keyboard.
Right.
Perhaps you can give the impression to do, but don't need to.
Right. Well, and there is, trust me, certain skill in making it look like you're online all the time, even when you're not.
Indeed, yeah. So
very good. So when do we think this will be out, more or less?
Well, the last chapter is just being finished now, and then we're going into the edit phase. So I should say probably within the next few weeks are we done.
Oh,
we've got
okay.
cover for the book done. There's actually, if anybody, any of your listeners are interested in finding out more, I've already got a website up there where they can go and sign up now for the first chapter free. So as soon as the book's released, they'll be sent a copy of the first chapter. Would it be okay if I shared that URL with people, Carl?
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, the URL is itbusinesssurvivalguide.com. And if you go there and fill in the form, as soon as the first chapter is available, as soon as the book is finished, you'll get a copy of the first chapter for free. And I'm also hoping to share some bonus tips and perhaps some videos as well with anybody who signs up via that form.
Very good. And we'll go ahead and put a link to that on the blog site on our a podcast site so that people can, who are listening to this, can just go straight to your site.
Fantastic. Thank you, Carl.
Very nice. Well, good luck with the book. I hope that you sell millions and millions of them. And if there's anything I can do to help, you'll let me know, and I know you will.
I appreciate it. And huge thanks to the work that you and Monica do with this podcast. It's one of my favorites, and so I'm absolutely privileged to be a guest on here.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you to say. Alrighty, well, thank you, sir. I appreciate your time as always, and I will look forward to helping you promote that book.
And now let's welcome our newest Oddballs edition, Manuel Polichuk, in our Oddballs segment. Manuel is an IT author and business coach based in Florida and has some awesome educational products for MSPs on at the smbbooks.com online storefront. Let's welcome Manuel to his first Oddball segment.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Oddball Tuesday. I'm Manuel Polichuk. I'm an entrepreneur and business coach, and I want to talk to you about the value and importance of learning and understanding a technology that you're interested in or that you're pretty sure you're going to implement long before you actually need it. My favorite management author and all-around high-level wizard on the subject, Peter Drucker, tells us that the primary functions of any business are supposed to be marketing and innovation. When it comes to innovation in today's technology world, it can often be as simple as making a connection between some new thing that you were introduced to with some existing thing that you're already working with or have a particular need for. So now you've got this new innovation to implement, but what do you do when you get your hands on this new thing that you know is powerful, but you really don't know how to put it to use or what its capabilities are? You know how it goes. Someone in your company or the client's company is always saying, "That's cool, and we should put this to use now." But no one masters, let alone understands, this thing, so it never gets installed, set up, or used. Hopefully, it didn't cost too much, or we haven't been paying a monthly fee for it for the last 6 months to get nothing out of it. Well, if it's about technology for your business or your client's business, failure here can cost you your business. What I propose is that you create a habit of learning and knowing these new things, these technologies, products, or services before you need them. Don't wait to the last minute. Be the innovator who takes action on these new innovations as soon as you get them in your hands. Here's the very familiar scenario. We have meetings, we talk about it, we plan to do it, and then one day we realize we are behind the curve or that we need this thing online now, but we still haven't put 1 minute into the spin-up or the understanding of this new thing. Notice how it's never next week or in 3 days. It's always tomorrow at the latest, or better yet, yesterday. Well, This is how most every company operates. The good news, if there is any, is that your competition has the exact same problems. This means that those companies whom can make a habit of knowing a product or technology well before they need it have a significant competitive advantage. So how do you make this habit, and what does it look like? You should recognize it as what we call research and development. I find it interesting that every company actually does R&D, but they are resistant in dedicating time and energy to it with a solid commitment. The idea is to learn this thing or this tool and how it works, how it doesn't work, what it will and what it won't do, and everything else about it long before you put it to use. If you can do this, it means that when it comes time to take action and implement this thing, whatever it is, you have a significantly shorter startup time. Okay, so in reality, you're actually front-loading the training, but because it's the initial training and the calibration of this tool, it's much more efficient to do it ahead of time. The easiest way to get a priority on something like this and get the appropriate amount of time allotted to it is to set it up as a simple project or even as a service ticket in your ticketing system. This means it has to come to the top of the list at some point, assuming you're using a logical flow for work on your service boards and your project boards, and that's a subject for an entirely different discussion. Even if you're a small company, you can find room for this R&D. If you're in the technology industry, you know that this is how most of us got anywhere to begin with, and it's just more of the same. We just put in the hours in the middle of the night and figure things out, but it's to our benefit, and if it gives us a competitive advantage, then even better. Well, that's all the time we have for now. I do hope you found this discussion helpful and maybe even somewhat encouraging. Here are the key points. I believe that knowing the services, tools, and technologies that you will be relying on in the near or even not so distant future is a powerful habit to build. Remember, our ability to innovate better than our competition is what gives us a competitive advantage. Well, this is Manuel Palachuk signing off for now. And if you ever need help, feel free to check out my innovative coaching programs by visiting my website at www.manuelpalachuk.com. Thank you all for listening in on this odd Tuesday. Until next time, good luck in all your endeavors.
And now for today's tech news, brought to you by neowin.net. LG has unveiled their new curved ultra-wide monitor. The Ultra is 34 inches, designed to work with both PCs and Macs, and offers quad HD resolution. It comes with Thunderbolt 2 connectivity, which allows the monitors to be easily daisy-chained together. 7-watt stereo speakers are integrated into its curved body. LG says that by adding a gentle curve to a 21:9 aspect ratio monitor, it has created a unique product that delivers a more immersive experience. Exactly how much the product will cost remains unclear for now. LG has also announced its new Digital Cinema 4K monitor, a 31-inch flat IPS LCD designed for broadcast production, design, and photography, which will be unveiled at IFA alongside the 24GM77 gaming monitor, which includes a refresh rate of 144Hz, and special software that helps to reduce motion blur. Steve Ballmer has stepped down from the board of Microsoft just 6 months after stepping down as its CEO. He says that because of his new commitments, he does not feel that he has enough time to devote to serving on the board. More significantly, though, Ballmer also clearly states that he is fully behind Satya Nadella in his new strategy, and he believes in the mobile-first, cloud-first strategy. This is a big move for Ballmer, who is now fully separated from the company's management. Ballmer remains the largest shareholder of the company, topping that of even Bill Gates, so he is still fully invested financially in the success of Microsoft. Earlier this month, Ballmer was announced as the rightful owner of the LA Clippers, which should keep him plenty busy. For Nadella, it is likely a good move for him too, as he won't have one of the former CEOs on the board of Microsoft who could theoretically move to undermine him. Bill Gates has taken on a new role too and is no longer the chairman of the company, but does still sit on its board. 2 weeks after rolling out the fifth beta iOS 8, Apple is now seeding beta 6 to a select number of testing partners. The latest pre-release update to the OS brings a broad range of improvements, bug fixes, and stability enhancements as the company edges closer to launch. Apple has apparently decided not to make Beta 6 widely available to all developers, as the company is now preparing to put together the final build of iOS 8 ready for release. Those lucky few who will be testing Beta 6 must approve the build by September 5th, just a couple of weeks ahead of the rumored launch of the new iPhone 6 and 6L. Beta 6 fixes numerous issues and glitches, from major usability flaws such as keyboard problems in Safari or where incoming calls were being bounced back to the original caller, to smaller problems like being unable to send your current location via MMS or notes being duplicated when opened via Gmail. Intel is reportedly accelerating the launch date for both their new generation CPUs and motherboards. Sources out of Japan claim that according to several officials, the Intel Haswell E and Intel X99 Express chipset will be launched on Friday, 29th of August. Previous rumors suggested that the launch would always happen in the second half of 2014. Sources also noted that manufacturers are ramping up their readiness for the next-gen CPUs and motherboards from Intel, and indicated that they will be as numerous in numbers as the Intel Z97 predecessors. Two X99 motherboards have already been revealed in images over at Guru 3D and Linus Tech Tips. Both a MATX and an ATX classified motherboard are said to be priced at $250 and $400 USD, respectively. Software patents have snowballed into giant wars in recent years, ending, changing, and growing partnerships between various technology juggernauts. It has emerged that Microsoft is reportedly dropping their Samsung patent case, with negotiations between them having been reopened. An industry official reportedly informed the Korea Times that the settlement is intended to be quickly resolved so that both companies are able to close the chapter on the disputes. As it stands, Samsung is under heavy pressure from Microsoft over royalty payments for approximately 300 patents used in Android. Just earlier this month, Microsoft took Samsung to court again, claiming a breach of contract over the royalties they expected to receive from Samsung. The key point is that Microsoft wants to settle the lawsuit, and it's no surprise to see that the two technology giants have resumed working-level discussions on how to dismiss lawsuits filed by Microsoft to a New York court, said an industry official to the Korea Times. Currently, Samsung pays a significant amount of money for the patents it uses. As part of the deal they are offering to Microsoft, Samsung is reportedly suggesting that they may begin producing and promoting Windows or Windows Phone-based smart devices. However, even though Microsoft has a giant war chest of patents that they believe Android violates, one issue that Microsoft wasn't able to resolve is patents for certain types of wireless technology. Microsoft expected to secure such patents with their acquisition of Nokia, however, it didn't work out as expected. Under the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act of 1998, site owners must take special and often time-consuming precautions when dealing with users under the age of 13. As such, most mainstream websites have adopted a sweeping ban on all minors under the age of 13, barring access, at least in theory, to young children. But Google may soon seek to crush this policy as their initiative to deploy a child-safe version of Google services for kids, including a custom dashboard for parents and special semi-restricted user accounts on services like YouTube and Gmail, has been hinted at recently by several sources. The only protection against children 13 and under signing up for restricted services is a confirmation page or a checkbox asking them to confirm whether they're actually over the age of 13. But as anyone who had internet access as a child knows, this is easily bypassed, allowing kids to search potentially dubious content on the web. Google's rumored new initiative may eliminate this entirely by placing access directly in the hands of parents, who can control and access their children's viewing and browsing habits on services like YouTube via a custom dashboard. There's no word on whether privacy settings will be modified, but there will likely be some sort of baseline for content when signing up for a child-safe Google account, banning explicit videos and search items and allowing parents to see if their child attempts to access them. Google's best bet in this instance will be allowing parents to choose custom settings for their children based on what they do and don't want them to see when browsing the internet. Back in 2004, Munich, Germany decided they were going to switch to Linux, specifically Linux, as their primary operating system and drop Microsoft's Windows operating system. At the time, the decision was said to be cheaper, more reliable, and politically correct for the city, and this would be on the same scale as the Berlin Wall falling for politics, but for IT. But 10 years later, and yes, 10 years is quite an achievement, the city is realizing that the move has not materialized in the way that they had envisioned a decade ago. A city official said that no matter what organization he talked to within the city, they all explained that their productivity was suffering because of the Linux system that they were using. By 2011, Germany was supposedly running Linux on more than 9,000 machines. Issues arose when the Linux OS users tried to work with those outside the city, and they were unable to share files easily with those on other applications. Or so, the idea is generally that Linux setups are cheaper than a Microsoft solution, as you do not have to pay licensing fees. But what Munich experienced is that Linux was much more expensive. The reason it was more expensive is because the city had to hire programmers to build out functionality that they needed, and then had to pay the staff to maintain the software. The city is now in the process of jumping back to a Microsoft solution, and is now converting those 9,000 plus machines back to Windows. I'd like to thank neowin.net for today's tech news.
Hey, this is Carl, and we have been so busy around here. We got the 4-book series is almost ready. We're typesetting it. We're polishing the last little bit of the graphics. There's so many fine details involved at the end of the book process. As soon as you think you're done, you're really at 90%, 99%, 99.9%, so forth. So we are going to have these out very, very shortly. You should have the ebook version from SMB Books in your hands by the end of August, and the printed version will be out in September. So that is all happening. In the meantime, we're getting ready to go to SMB Nation, and we've got a really cool bunch of graphics that we're going to put together for the fall events in Australia. So whether you're in Australia or joining us there or not, you should at least go check out the SMB Roadshow site, where we've got some cool stuff going on there. And we're going to be adding more stuff to that, so keep checking it out. You know, one of the things that I talk about in the book is trying to figure out what is normal in your business so you can always go back to it. And probably the most important kind of normal that you can have, because it's the most important thing you do in your business, is to figure out what is a normal backup. You know, one of the things that we don't do enough of is train our employees on how to restore data. At the end of the day, there is nothing more important in your business than being able to restore data from backup. And in order to do that, your technicians have to know what is a normal backup. The last 7 chapters of the 4-book set are a whole collection of chapters on backups, recovery, disaster recovery, testing backups, and so forth. Because here's what happens. If you don't know what's normal, if you don't test and practice restores all the time, you don't know what it looks like when something goes wrong. You don't know whether that's right or wrong or different. So practice those things and test them on a regular basis, because if you can't restore from a backup, I'm going to have to say you don't have a real backup. Thank you for supporting us, and check out the books at smbbooks.com.
Late last year, Carl held a crowdfunding campaign through Indiegogo to raise monies for a 4-book series he wanted to write on standard operating procedures. Those 4 books are now set to be released in September, and pre-sale orders are being accepted at a reduced price. The Managed Services Operation Manual is a 4-book series covering front office mastery, employees and internal processes, running your service department, and support and service delivery. It is an exceptional group of books for MSPs. To check out more information about the series, visit sopforsmb.com. That's SOP4SMB.com. And if you decide to purchase, don't forget to use the Odd Tuesday Show coupon for 20% off. That's Odd Tuesdays, one word, and that's your coupon. Don't forget, if you are not already following Carl's weekly newsletter, chocked full of resources, blog article links, and special tech features, just visit carlsnews.com to connect. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us on our next episode, September 2nd. I look forward to seeing you then. Take care.